Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Zach Meckler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and to everyone out there, we hope you are enjoying your holiday weekend coming to you. Oh, from our own cozy confines, I have one of my other brothers from another mother finally here. So we're here for each other. Man, I could just, it just rolls off the tongue. The one professor slash coach slash guru slash less biased than me or something or other, Zach Meckler. Zach, what's going on, my friend?
Not too much. Enjoyable holiday weekend, you know, some football. We get to see some football in shorts as Coach Tomlin talks about it. You know, it's nice to see those starting to get underway with, throughout all the COVID craziness. You know, we didn't know what that was going to look like, but seeing the Steelers out there being able to do some work on the grass, even if it is football in shorts, still makes you feel a little all warm and fuzzy inside. So I'm happy to see that going.
Yeah, and I know you may not have had a chance to, and your busy schedule too, listen to myself and Brian on the last one. We were talking a little bit about the football in shorts thing, and it's like, it's nice to see it. Just enjoy it. We know it's in shorts. We know it's not pads. No need to rag on this guy or that guy or anything like that. So speaking of football in shorts, there is a new partner of ours here on the podcast that I do have to mention. I'll mention it right off the top. I know they've been chewing at the bit to get the word out there, and that would be Chase Claypool and his new inaugural football pro camp for boys and girls grades of 1 through 8. So this is going to be happening in Coraopolis on July 21st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. If this is something that interests you, you could learn and interact with Chase Claypool and some of the other coaches that will be there to offer tips and hands-on instruction, including lectures, fundamental football skill stations, contests, and non-contact games in a high-energy, fun, and positive environment with cleanliness and sanitation measures in place. So if you'd like to, this sounds like something you're just jumping out to go do, right?
100%. So, I love camps and clinics like that, man. So that's 100%.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. So if this is something that is that you're interested in, obviously, you want to maybe head on over to the website. The short of it is chaseclaypoolcamp.com. That'll actually take you to the procamps.com website at /chaseclaypool. And if you're interested, for our viewers and listeners, we got a handy little promo code, as we tend to get some things here with the various partners that we meet up with. So if you would like to save 10% on these camps for those boys and girls from 1st through 8th grade, use the promo code SteelCity. You'll save 10%. Once again, that is chaseclaypoolcamp.com. So it almost felt fitting for you, as I say, the coach, the professor, you know, the football and shorts, all of that. Go ahead and check it out. I think this is a great thing that Mapletron is doing, even though I kind of still cringe. Let's let him get to that wide receiver one billing before the Mapletron. I get his size and being, you know, the Canadian. I almost called him an expat. I don't think he's an expat, but no. you get kind of the he's an adopted son of Pittsburgh, and so it's cool to see him doing this in the local area. And you know, go check that out. There's not much more I could say about it because I'm not the one that's going to be doing a lot of this. Oh, the attendees get some cool stuff too. You'll have to check out the website for that too. So team photos, autograph, things of that nature. So on that note, we have like happy. It's like, do you want the good news or the bad news first? And when we did like the happy part of it, you're like seeing little kids run around, and you know, like the one cousin, the one. I guess he's kind of a cousin. He's not really my blood nephew, you know, through marriage and everything like that. But he does the little flag football thing. He's 8 or 9 years old. He's right within this target demo, and he's the Antonio Brown kid. If you've been listening long enough to this podcast to know, we went to training camp a few years ago, and he was crying, and Antonio Brown's like, "Why is little man crying, puts him right on his lap, takes a selfie with him, signs his jersey right on the back, right on his own personal golf cart after practice. That was a really cool thing, and one of the reasons why I can't figure out what the heck happened there. But if you get kids like that, that would be would have an interest in this, and you're a big Steelers fan, go head out there, man. There's worse things you could do with your time and money. Speaking of which, that could be the people who allow Adam Schein to have a podcast or a platform. We've got somebody to complain about today, Zach.
Yeah.
You said it best. We were just talking about this off air, and I'll let you say it again. I'll feed you a little bit of it in case it's escaped your memory. But it's the Spider-Man movie quote: "With great power comes great responsibility." For people who say, like, obviously this is a Pittsburgh Steelers geared program, right? You're not going to hear us really disparage a whole lot on the Steelers. We try to be kind of fair or balanced here or there, but we are slanted towards a specific genre, team, etc. For someone like Adam Schein, I think the correct term would be the guy's drinking Haterade, and often, when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time that he had a genuinely positive thing to say. I'm not sitting there saying you have to sit there and, you know, build baby up and make him feel good, but I just think that at some point in time, like, you've been beating this negative drum for years now, and, you know, since Ben pretty much hit the age of 30, you've been writing him off since, you know, the Steelers offense hasn't, you know, done as much as they used to back in the 70s. They must not be that great. Like, at some point, man, like, you got to at least look at some positives. The only positives I really heard him say is that, yeah, Najee Harris is a good running back. Like, that's really the most I've heard positive out of him. Like, there's not a single – if he was running the franchise at this point, you'd think he'd blow the entire thing up and cut every single person, not name Najee Harris or Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, and maybe T.J. Watt, you know, as egregious as that sounds. So I just – the fact that he has the platform that he has – and it's not just the Steelers, too. I've heard him drag other teams through the mud, too, unjustly, with a very clearly biased lens. And I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, I hate everyone that hates the Steelers. If you criticize the Steelers, people that criticize Ben Roethlisberger saying he's getting older and you saw how the season went last year, I get it. Criticize him. But you've been criticizing him now for years. You know, you've been criticizing the franchise for years and finding every little thing, and you don't say a single positive thing. That shows a very slanted argument against the Steelers. When you can sit there and every team in the league, even the Jaguars, you can sit there and find positives to say about them. And, you know, as we're going to talk about here with other teams that he tried to compare the Steelers to, you can find positives and negatives with them. You can find positives and negatives with every team, including the Chiefs, including the Buccaneers, who just won the Super Bowl. You know, but to consistently just preem one team and just sit there and say, you know, it's
man,
too much.
Why'd you have to go there with the Chiefs? Don't you know they took the guy the Steelers should have gotten with
probably.
Reed Humphrey?
The Steelers probably should have drafted.
Their offensive line, it was all a big problem. They're immediately going to be better. I mean, part of the problem in the Super Bowl was the injuries for their offensive line. You know what I mean? I understand. Yeah, I understand they made some changes there too, but let's not just pretend that we're going to shoot Creed Humphrey out of a cannon and he's instantly. I know we say the same thing, Kendrick Green. We're all very optimistic these players become good players. It's not to say they won't or otherwise, but let's all just take a deep breath and let them do their thing and see how it plays out. For the most part, everyone's kind of dragging Green because the Steelers waited and took him instead of Humphrey. And for the same things, like you say, the Shines and everyone else of the world, Najee Harris, top running back, right? This is the guy, the best running back in the draft. Don't take him at 24, though. 33, it's that meme with the guy that's wearing, like, the big bubble coat where he's, like, he looks away, and then this way it's, like, the thumbs up. Yeah, I'm in agreement now with this. You know, come on, man. I don't care for it. But what did Schein say that has us talking about him? Because this isn't a name that we bring up often enough. And let us tell you, he was over via CBS Sports Network just earlier in the week, last week, whatever be the case. And he says, and he had to say this very specifically because people probably aren't listening to him. So now you got our attention. Like, who's this guy? Oh, yeah, I remember him. I'm telling you right now, the Bengals are going to surprise some people. Cincinnati can win more games than the Pittsburgh Steelers because they have a better quarterback. Now, the thing was, for the small clip that he's talking about, Joe Burrow, all systems go for week one. That's the report that was coming out. It was kind of like a piece on the Bengals. And then he has to take that pot shot at the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger right at the end, saying that the Bengals can win more games than the Steelers because they have a better quarterback. We're going to go through the schedule and just kind of give our little whatever you want to do on this. But first things first, I get it. Joe Burrow, number one overall pick, guy put up insane numbers in college, et cetera, et cetera. Got a lot of promise. Got a bright future. You know, we've even talked about he didn't look scared. He didn't look out of place last year as a rookie. Nope. I think he's got room for improvement. This is probably going to be Cincinnati's guy. I would even go as far. This may be a hotter take, and this might actually go and coincide, which I don't think he's better than Ben Roethlisberger. He's got a long way to go yet to get there, and I don't think Ben has regressed enough to fall down to that level. You would have to go in opposite directions with one rising, one falling. Everyone is always assuming that Ben at 38 years old, stick a fork in him. That was supposed to be last offseason. It didn't happen either. And now you put more weapons around him, and a few people have acknowledged. Peter Schrager, NFL Network, just did this the other day too. He was like, are people sleeping on the Steelers based on the pieces they put around them? And that's a whole other topic. But Burrow plays, 10 games last year, 65.3% completed, 2,688 yards, 13 touchdowns, 5 picks. And these are numbers that, you know, for a rookie, pretty solid. If he plays a full 16 games, his numbers are probably around where Ben is. You don't know if he ends up having a bad game where he throws 3 or 4 picks in a bunch or something like that. You don't quite double his numbers. He doesn't quite get the 30 touchdowns. And all of a sudden, he's christened a better quarterback than Roethlisberger. Now, Justin Herbert, we've mentioned it, you and I, very similar numbers to Ben Roethlisberger. And then for a rookie to have numbers of a veteran, very promising. And he put up numbers, Herbert did, that rookies haven't done to date. So there's some reason for maybe even more optimism there. But we know about sophomore slumps. We know about one-year wonders. We're talking about a guy that's coming off, an MCL and an ACL tear as a quarterback that's out there right now doing OTAs. I don't know what all he's doing, but he's encouraging his teammates. But I'm hoping you got to trust that I hope that anybody is doing anything medical or sports science within that program is handling him with the white glove treatment because you don't want to screw this up. And that kind of alerted me when that happened. And I don't want to, insinuate that this will destroy his career or anything like that, but let's pump the brakes on this. We got 10 games to look at with Joe Burrow versus a lifetime, like 18 seasons of Ben Roethlisberger. Burrow had some games. We had some shootouts. The hot take I was going to put on this was I like him better than Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson already. And that's just my personal feeling, my personal opinion on it. Guy threw for 400 yards. Both of his games, his biggest games, 6 of his touchdowns of the 13 came against the Cleveland Browns. So, it's just one team that he pretty much dominated. He also threw a boatload of passes, 108 passes between those games, 722 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick, and some of his more higher rated games. And they lost both of those games, by the way. They also, his quarterback rating, very good in a tie against the Eagles. And then they had a win against Tennessee Titans where they won 31-20. That was in week 8, following the Titans having a slugfest with the Steelers. As we always talk about, the teams that play the Steelers or Ravens the very next week, even those teams when they play each other the following week, tends to be kind of a snoozer. They're still licking their wounds a little bit rather than licking their chops. But we've talked about quarterbacks a lot. He had 5 games with at least 300 yards or more in them. But I'm not ready to christen him the second coming yet. You know, is he even a top 10 quarterback in the league? I know we've argued whether or not Ben Roethlisberger is. He's probably fringe. Is Joe Burrow in that same category? Is Adam Schein out of his mind for saying that the Bengals have a better quarterback? And if they really do have the better quarterback, does it really matter with all the other pieces that are surrounding Burrow offensively or defensively for the Bengals?
No, I my not so hot take is I think by the end of 2022, you know, Joe Burrow is probably the best quarterback in the AFC North, regardless of who is a quarterback for the Steelers, and that's no knock on Lamar Jackson, who's already a reigning MVP, you know, 2 years ago. I just think you look at the overall arm talent. Joe Burrow is the better overall arm talent. You know, Lamar Jackson is the better overall football player, who I'd rather have, and I'll continue to say this, contrary to, you know, not needing Lamar Jackson to be Aaron Rodgers. No one ever said you did. But if you're looking to build a pass offense around it, you're going to build a pass offense around Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is the better talent, in my opinion, over Baker Mayfield. I'd rather have Joe Burrow of the quarterbacks in there. And I know that's only a 10-game sample versus the 3 seasons we've seen out of Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. That being said, what Adam Schein seems to forget, the Bengals have, objectively, in my opinion, kind of oxymoronic, they have the worst coach in the AFC North, the worst head coach. Zach Taylor hasn't proven anything at this point. You know, we see what, you know, Kevin Stefanski did in one season, turning the Browns from a bottom feeder to a playoff contender who now is, you know, putting in that Super Bowl category. John Harbaugh is one of the most consistent coaches in the NFL, just in terms of his identity and what he, how he runs that franchise. And everyone knows how Mike Tomlin is. No, you can sit there and say no losing seasons doesn't matter. The guy finds ways to get the team to where it needs to be, no matter what talent he has or doesn't have. Zach Taylor hasn't done any of that stuff. Defensively, the Bengals still have the worst defense in the AFC North, and I don't think that's up for debate either at this point in time. You can sit there and say the Steelers lost Mike Hilton and Bud Dupree. You can sit there and question, you know, the Browns, they have nine new starters on defense this year. The Bengals defense still doesn't strike fear. I mean, Sam Hubbard, we talked about this in the last podcast you and I did. Sam Hubbard's a nice talent. He's going to be another dude that comes in here and cashes in free agency, probably, just like Carl Lawson kind of did. You know, they have DBs always, it seems. But that second level and even in the middle, you know, they don't have a whole lot of stuff there, and injuries have plagued them so much. But ever since Marvin Lewis has left, that defense has been anything but spectacular. Joe Burrow's a great talent, and you can make the argument that the Bengals might have the best trio of young receivers in the NFL, you know, with Ja'Marr Chase, who we haven't seen play yet, but is a phenomenal talent. T. Higgins, who I thought was probably going to allow them not to take a receiver early. And Tyler Boyd is arguably one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. So you have a talent there. Joe Mixon's an elite talent whenever he's healthy. So they have the pieces on offense, and Joe Burrow is a great player. And I think he's going to be the best quarterback in the AFC North and be a consistent perennial top 7, top 5 quarterback once he reaches a ceiling. But to sit there and say that just because they have the better quarterback, as if this is a one-person sport, when coaching in the NFL matters so much more than it does in college and high school, when you have to look at the full defensive talent, even though this is an offensive-driven league, defenses still win championships. Look at the Buccaneers last year. You know, like, it's still a league where you have to have those pieces, and the Bengals are lacking in two of those three areas. You have to have a quarterback. They got that one. But you still have to have some semblance of a defense, and you still have to have a head coach. And to sit there and Adam Schein to sit there and say, hey, they're better than the Steelers because Joe Burrow's greater subjectively than, you know, Ben Roethlisberger at this very moment. No one's questioning 3 years from now where Joe Burrow will 100% be a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger, because Ben Roethlisberger won't be in the league at that point. You know, but like,
yeah,
you can't sit there and make those statements because it's all projection, and you can sit there and feel confident about it, but there should be nothing that the Bengals have done, in my opinion, to make you think that their defense or their coaching is going to drastically be improved from where it was before. Will they be improved as a unit? Yeah, as long as Joe Burrow stays healthy. Joe Burrow will win them some football games. But in the AFC North, where it's arguably one of the best divisions in football, you have to play the Ravens twice and beat them twice. You have to play the Browns twice and beat them twice. You have to play the Steelers twice and beat them twice. You're going to win 6 games that way? I don't know. But the winner of the AFC North, or even the second place team in the AFC North, traditionally has a winning record in the AFC North. And now you're going to sit there and automatically assume they're going to be automatically better and run that gauntlet?
Yeah, and we're going to run the gauntlet for them. Those are all great points. The one thing that really kind of threw me off, and you said when Joe Mixon's healthy, but Adam Schein, he talked about it. He's all over Ja'Marr Chase. And I don't disagree about Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, or Tyler Boyd, any of what you said there. I look at the same thing that everyone keeps ragging on the Steelers about. I look around, other than the Browns in this division, I look at everyone else's offensive line. It's like, you're going to talk about the Steelers. You got all these changes with the Ravens, and plus they get a cast off from the Steelers. And then the Bengals. I don't really know that they've got the pieces that are going to work here or not. And we talked about this on another episode, so I'm not going to, you know, go look back. It's a 90-minute bonus episode from 2 weeks ago, and we kind of get more into the AFC North rosters. But just to talk about, you're going to anoint Joe Mixon, Adam Schein does, right? And immediately we're thinking, because we think of like, we think of fantasy football, right? And I went and dug into some of Joe Mixon's numbers. I go back to, let's see what he's done, okay? His rookie season, 14 games, he ran the ball 178 times for 626 yards, four touchdowns. He's had 1,000 yards receiving over 4 years and 50 games, okay? He played 14 games the following year. He exceeds 1,000 yards. He has 1,168, eight touchdowns. Looks like he's starting to blossom into a threat here. And he didn't do too bad in 2019 either, but it's still something I'm going to bring up and point out a little more. 1,137 yards, five touchdowns. Receiving, he had three touchdowns, so he was kind of a little bit more of a dual threat, but the offense stunk really bad, and that's the reason why, what, they won one game, and they got Joe Burrow. And last year, he plays in only six games, 428 yards, three touchdowns. But going back to 2019, a lot of that is skewed when you look at 1137, if you're going to say this is prime Joe Mixon, because he had 310 rushing yards in two games against the Cleveland Browns. Off of 49 carries. I mean, he destroyed them. 6.23 average, 6.35. He had some big games, 136 and 114 against the Patriots and the Ravens. And when you get beyond that and you go back to last year's numbers, let's see, what did Joe Mixon do in 2020? He had one game over 100 yards, 151 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, the worst team in the league. He really didn't sniff any big numbers, 69, 46, 49, 59, and 54, and those were with Joe Burrow in the lineup. So he was inactive a lot and then eventually placed on injured reserve. His yards per average is erratic all over the place, 363, 288, 288, 604 with the big game against the Jaguars, 246, and 3. And that's against the Chargers, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, and Colts. You know, there's a mixed bag there when you're talking about defenses. His big games the previous year, like I said, both against the Cleveland Browns. Not a very solid defense. So when you're looking overall, his yards yards per carry or yards per attempt over 4 years, 3.5, 4.9, 4.1, 3.6, 4.41 average. A couple threes in there on a low four. We sent James Conner packing, doing a 4.5, 4.5, 4.0, and 4.3 with a 4.3 average. And for a guy that scored more touchdowns here too, I believe, let me see, 22 rushing touchdowns over, 50 games. Oh, it's almost comparable, except for the fact that Lev Bell was the starter in 2017. So over 50 games, you look at Joe Mixon has had 20 touchdowns. Ah, the scales of balance right there don't tell me that the run game's much better and I haven't been sold on the offensive line. So does that necessarily make the Bengals the better team? Adam Schein talking about the better quarterback. I'm not going to get into Ben's numbers. I've already done this a bazillion times. His yards were down with all the short pass crap. He had the third most attempts in the league. That doesn't necessarily mean that's bad. It's just that they didn't run the football, right? That's the thing we've been complaining about. Tom Brady had the second most attempts. Matt Ryan the first. So we get into the actual schedule here, Zach, just because we want to keep it concise, right? Unless you got a couple more notes or comments on what I just said. We'll jump right into this. Let's see.
Bengals have a structure that's good, and it can be good. We talked about on the last podcast, if they stay healthy, I think they're a competitive team that probably finishes third or fourth in the division. And maybe, you know, as long as Burrow continues to progress, they're maybe taking a jump the year afterwards. But I'm not anointing them anything until they prove that they can win under Zach Taylor and put a defense on the field that does well. Period. Point blank. That's it.
Okay, so we're talking 4-11-1 last year. And with that tie with the Eagles, let me see. The Bengals last year, it's hard because it's not the same team as last year. I'm not going to pretend it's the exact same thing and it just carry over. But they've also lost some pieces and gained some pieces, so it's still a work in progress. They had a victory 33-25 over the Jacksonville Jaguars, 31-20 over Tennessee before a bye week. They lost a bunch of games in a row before beating the Steelers in that ugly game I was at, Monday night game down in Cincinnati. Ugh. 27-17. That should have never happened. And then they beat the Texans. And they had a couple of close games. They lost a game to the Giants by 2 points. But there was a lot of blowouts on the schedule, too. They had a close game against the Browns where they only lost by 3 points. And another three-pointer to start against the Chargers and 5 points with the Browns, who were finding themselves at that time. So when I look at this, and now we've expanded to 17 games, we've mentioned this before, a lot of the Steelers have the hardest strength of schedule on paper right now. But all but three of these games are going to become an opponent that the Bengals also have to play. So I think that's
the
also
Bengals are tied for the sixth. They're tied for the sixth hardest schedule in the league. It's not like they have a cakewalk, you know.
They play the same two divisions. So they got to play the Vikings to start out. And I don't know. I don't know. When you're talking about September football, anything can happen here. Teams could be ugly, teams could be good, it can revert the other way. They play at home against the Vikings, and I'm trying to figure out who or what the Vikings are, and it's tough. They're gonna have the home game, but I don't think the Bengals. Let's put it this way: home field advantage is nil in Cincinnati. Those are very fair weather fans. Maybe they'll come around at some point if this team is winning right out the gate week one. They may attract some people with some good weather or whatever. We'll see if we're supposed to have all but two of the stadiums so far, Denver and Indianapolis being the exceptions, for full capacity, or at least planning to. So with the Vikings, I know he was saying, I think Shine was saying something like, well, I could see him beating the Vikings. Well, I could too, but I think between this and the following week when they play the Bears, I think we're looking at 1-1 at best, right?
Correct.
That's what happened. Yeah, I'll put a win, I'll put a loss. I don't care which one's which. They got to go play at Chicago. We'll see. What's Chicago doing? Are they going to have Justin Fields as their quarterback? There's a team trying to find themselves, but maybe
the Andy Dalton rematch game right there.
Oh, yeah. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. He said he was brought in to be the starter. We'll see if we'll see if Matt Nagy has the patience there to hold off, because I think his seat is very warm in Chicago, as I think Zach Taylor's will be too. And I was about to say Mike Zimmer as well. It's like, hey, he's hung around long for a while. But when you talk about real mediocrity and inconsistency, it's really the Minnesota Vikings who've been like a 500 here or there team over the last few. Yeah, for a while now. Week three, they play the Steelers at Pittsburgh. And the Steelers will be – they'll have two home games in a row here. Let's start with the Steelers and Bills at Buffalo. Let's just say the Steelers start 0-1, okay? We'll give this one of their hardest ones. But they have the Raiders at home for the next week. So now we're looking at both teams being 1-1 and facing each other for a 1 o'clock Sunday game. I think that bodes well for the Steelers. I'm going to give an L. And you could disagree with me at any point here.
I agree with you. I mean, I think they're both 1-1 by the time they play week three, and playing in Pittsburgh week three, you know, the Steelers should hopefully still have some juice there before the wheels start to get, you know, a little squeaky. So I think the Steelers have been a little bit better early on in recent years. I think they have a chance to pull that one out and get a win there.
Week four, Bengals are going to be on Thursday Night Football, primetime game played at Paul Brown there in Cincinnati, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have the last two first round, as this should play out, first top overall picks, top quarterbacks in Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, presumably as the starters heading into this for a clash. I'm going to have to lean on the Bengals with this. You know my philosophy. Thursday night, short preparation, does not usually bode well for the away team. So I'm going to give a dub for the Bengals here. But that one could really go either way, depending on how these teams are organized. I just think,
New head coach, rookie quarterback, I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not big on that either. Steelers at the Packers.
Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback or is he not the quarterback? If he's not the quarterback, I like the Steelers. If he is the quarterback, I'm gonna go with the Packers there.
I don't know. Right now, it's not looking good for Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback there. Do we want to give a dub to the Steelers and make them 3-1, or are we going to make them 2-2 and the Bengals, and they're all even, right, even Steven right now? It's a 4:25 game. It's not bad weather.
I don't like the Steelers on the road in that capacity, and I think the Packers have a very firm identity. I think if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing, it becomes a lot more interesting. If he is playing and they've you know, kind of kissed and made up at that point. I could see the Packers winning that game by about two scores. And that's not knocking the Steelers. I just think the Packers have their identity, and I don't think they're worse for the wear, you know, unless the relationship has really just been that much of a distraction for them and the Packers are just unraveling in front of our eyes. I'm giving that one to the Packers there, just objectively.
It's fair. I can't disagree with you. But now we go, when we flip this and Green Bay's got to go travel to Cincinnati for week five. And they've just played the Steelers.
Steelers, and they're going on the road. My gut still says just fundamentally that they're a better team. I think they're a better team. I think that's going to be a real good test for the Bengals' pass rush. You know, is their passing of Sewell warranted? Are they going to be, you know, is Jonah Williams still going to be healthy, and is Riley Reiff still going to be able to do his thing to go against the, you know, the Smiths, is Darius Smith and Preston Smith? Yeah. You know, like I think that's going to be a huge test for them. You know, and Rashawn Gary came into his form last year. The Packers have a formidable pass rush, and that's going to be a challenge regardless if it's in Cincinnati or not, I think. So, you know, I that's going to be a huge test for them, even if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing. I think if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing, that keeps it a little bit interesting there. And the same thing could be said for the Steelers the week before. You know, that would be a real good challenge for Chukwuma Okorafor and Zach Banner. But I have to give that one to the Packers there, week five.
No, that's fair. Week five sees the Steelers at home hosting the Denver Broncos.
Steelers.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've mentioned this before. The Broncos are a team I have no ill will towards. I have friends that are Broncos fans. I've kind of always liked that organization. I like what they did with Peyton Manning. I thought John Elway has been class. You know, I hated when the Steelers couldn't get over the hump and Elway had his last ride and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But they've got so much going on there that I don't know.
Regardless if it's Bridgewater or Drew Locke, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't see either one of them really being the difference there.
Not at the Steelers' house anyway. So we've got the Bengals in week six. They're going to travel to face the Detroit Lions for a 1 o'clock game in that dome. Short bus trip for them. That's a tough one. I don't know. Am I agreeing with Shine so far? Do I see maybe the Bengals? I mean, if we want to lean and be generous on this, we can give them a dub here also, maybe over the Lions, because the Lions got a lot of new moving parts there too. This could be interesting, and I don't know. It's not like you're going to have to worry about October weather where it's raining or something like that when you're playing in a dome stadium. So,
you know,
do we want to give them one. We'll throw them one, or we'll throw up we'll throw an X on this one. This could go either way.
Yeah, it can go either way. I could see the Bengals going into Detroit and doing well there. You know, with Goff at the helm now, Steph Stafford. You know, they got the one that everyone thought the Bengals would with Sewell, you know, being their new offensive lineman toy, you know, and TJ Hawkinson, everyone's talking about him having a really good season this year as the, you know, the year three tight end as we start to see them make that jump traditionally in you know, recent years. But I could see it going either way. I don't know how well Goff is going to do there. I don't see Goff being the long-term answer. I think that was more of just a, you know, a dump for the Rams. You know, I think I could see them changing that position. If Goff comes in there and comes refreshed and is focused, the Lions could do it. But if you want to go and throw him a bone here, go ahead and throw him a bone. I wouldn't be surprised either way. This is one of those games where it's at 1 o'clock on Fox and you kind of forget that it's even there unless it has implications down the road, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless the Lions are all of a sudden a better franchise than they've been over the last 20 years, you know.
Steelers draw the Seahawks at home, Sunday Night Football. Same week.
Hell of a game.
It's a hell of a game. I still give the edge to the Steelers. You get a West Coast team coming over. They do get to play a little later, so it doesn't mess with them as much. But still,
I don't know. I don't know if the Seahawks are right now either.
Well, it's personally the same thing I say. You get to this point where you're hoping to iron things out, and the Seahawks are very, what do you want to say, erratic, inconsistent as well when they start their seasons. So we don't really know. Still a good coaching. I understand they shot out of a cannon Russell Wilson, MVP type candidate last year. Steelers at home in primetime. That place will be rocking.
And I just looked it up right now just out of curiosity's sake to see what the Seahawks have going on. They're playing week five Thursday night at home against the Rams. So they're going to have a long week going into that game against the Steelers, but they're coming off a divisional rival, which we've seen those Seahawks and Rams games get, you know, get physical and get chippy, you know, so yeah. I could go, they have a long week, but it's still a physical game ahead of time. So I think it would be a very good game. Again, that's another game I wouldn't be surprised if it went either way for the Steelers, but I do think the Steelers overall match up well with the Seahawks if what we think is going to happen with them offensively happens. But again, like Russell Wilson, I'm never going to bet against Russell Wilson. I'm not going to bet against him to be able to put the team on his back and just win a game. But I just think West Coast primetime in Pittsburgh, that place is going to be rocking if it's full capacity, and they're coming off a rivalry game as well. So I'm giving the Steelers that one there, reluctantly, but still giving it to them.
Yeah, not a problem. Let's see here. We've got – okay, right from there, Steelers are going to have a bye week 7. The Bengals are going to be in the middle of a bunch of road trips here. So they go from Detroit and then to Baltimore. They have 3 games on the road. And this is one that's interesting to me. At Baltimore, playing the Ravens. I'm throwing a loss on this one. I think the Ravens still handle them. They're going to go on Halloween then and travel and play the Jets. I don't know that the Jets have any type of identity here either. Yeah, it's real tough because you've just played the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, and now you got to go on the road yet again. And we're already doing a coin flip on the first of these 3 road games. It could be loss. They've already had Green Bay. They could fall into a 4-game skid here, or this could be the corrective medicine that they need to get back on track. This one's kind of tough for me. I don't know. On paper right now, something just tells me that the Jets are just a bigger dumpster fire. Maybe still one of the bigger ones in the league.
It's tough because if you look on paper, I mean, the Jets roster isn't bad. I mean, like, they've fortified their offensive line. Like, Mekhi Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker on that left side of that line is going to be a thing to behold. And, you know, it's always tough at right now, you know, in May, June, even July, to gauge how a first-year head coach and a first-year quarterback are going to respond. You have a first-year offensive coordinator with Mike LaFleur, the other LaFleur.
Yeah.
On paper, you know, Zach Wilson should be a good enough quarterback for him. I'm not a huge fan of Zach Wilson's game, but a lot of people love him, including New York. Their offensive line is not too bad. They really added some interesting pieces there, and they have some weapons. You know, I don't know. You know, they have guys on both sides of the ball. Is it going to be enough to win over? Maybe. You know, but it's tough to say at this point. I do like Robert Saleh. I do think he's going to bring in the right mindset to that organization. You know, and I think the fact that they're playing in New York could go either way. I think Joe Burrow obviously is going to be the reason the Bengals win that game if they do. So I'm inclined to give that game to the Bengals. But if that offense with Tevin Coleman, with Zach Wilson, with the weapons they have in the offensive line that they've built up, at least from center to left tackle, because from Connor McGovern, Elijah Vera Tucker, and Mekhi Becton, that's a very good group of offensive linemen. You know, they could pull that off physically and get a dead physical match with the Bengals defense. But my gut wants to tell me as of right now, without knowing how that's all going to look, go to the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the same thing you were looking to do here. Looks like Jets have a week 6 bye. Then they play at the Patriots and then host the Bengals. So that's, you know, a tall order for them. I'm looking at – I wanted to see where the Ravens had their bye, too, because I've already forgotten about this as well. They get a bye week 8 after they play the Bengals before they play the Vikings. So that isn't really going to have a huge impact on anything there. Might as well go around the AFC North and look at the Cleveland Browns because that's the next opponent. Also on Halloween for the Steelers. Steelers get their bye, so they get rest before traveling to Cleveland, which may not be of benefit to the Browns. Now, this is one where I'd say at Cleveland, hostile environment probably weighs in favor of the Cleveland Browns. However, there's that bye week. But the Steelers are also kind of sloppy after a bye, too. So what, are they going to stink it up again, or have they been marking this one on the calendar for a long time, and they won't have a shorter week to forget about it either? They're going to have a long time to think about what happened from last year and get that rematch. It's tough for me to say which way this is going to go. I'm going to throw this one as another one of these little coin flip deals for a second. And then you're going to have the Browns going to the Bengals for week 9 for the next week. That's a 1 o'clock game. They had just played the Steelers at home. Now they go to Cincinnati. I think they'll handle the Bengals. There could be some splits here. There's very much so. Something's got to shake out where one of the teams that leads in the AFC North goes like 4-2. I don't know that anybody goes 5-1 in this division this year. 3-3, it could be splits all the way around. I think it's going to be highly competitive. But let's just throw that one there, just the way I'm feeling. Steelers, what do they got here? ESPN, Monday Night Football against the Bears on November 8th, still in week 9. They at home, by the way, at Heinz Field. So I don't like the Bears. Let's give the dub to the Steelers. Bengals are off week 10. Then the Steelers get to host another home game, shorter week here against the Lions. I'm just going to – this isn't a coin flip for me. Lions are still a mess. Let's give the Steelers the W there. Bengals return after the bye to play at Las Vegas against the Raiders. What kind of identity do the Raiders have here? You got to make a West Coast trip. That affects the East Coast teams as well. This is really the first travel that – this is the only game that isn't a 1 o'clock. They have a bye. I think that can make them a little sluggish here. I'm going to say – I'm going to flip it here.
Raiders.
I like the Raiders too. You give them automatically the L there. I'm kind of in the middle. I'll be somewhat fair on that. Steelers got to go and play the Chargers over in L.A. I get used to saying that. This is a Sunday night football game. That's going to be a home game for the Steelers. They've been ugly over there, but they've also been missing players. They've had Michael Vick as quarterback, Duck Hodges as a quarterback. Presuming that they're healthy, I think they can handle the Chargers. I don't see a big problem there.
Just depends on you know, if the Chargers offensive line is as good as advertised, and if Herbert doesn't take a step back as a sophomore quarterback. I think if that goes, I mean, I think the Steelers can win. But again, the Chargers, just like the Bengals and the 49ers, seem to always have some injury bug bite them, and who knows by week 11 what they're going to look like. But that's a game that does concern me. For me, that's a coin flip game that wouldn't surprise me if the Chargers ended up pulling one out on the road or at home against the Steelers.
So the Steelers go to Cincinnati for week 12. And based on what they did the previous year, they had owned the Bengals all the way up until that game last year. I mean, they've been sweeping them. We've already predicted that the game in Pittsburgh would probably tilt in favor of the Steelers. Do we think they could sweep them again this year?
No.
Or is it a split?
I'm actually giving this a split, and I'm not giving it a split because I think the Bengals are the better team. I'm giving it to the Bengals because I think we've seen the Steelers struggle coming off of West Coast games. It's a primetime West Coast game, so they're not going to be doing a whole lot Monday or Tuesday, really. You know, so you're looking at a shortened practice week just because it's a West Coast, all the travel time and being a primetime game. If it was a 1 o'clock kickoff, I'd maybe be a little more generous. I just think that I don't see the Steelers sweeping any team in the AFC North. If the Steelers win the AFC North this year, it's going to be because they won well outside of the division. And I still think the Steelers maybe go 3-3 or 4-2, but I just think this has a loss right now at this point on it, unless the Steelers go to LA and just cruise and do very well easily. I just think they're going to, if they play a hard fought game against the Chargers, as I expect it to be, I think they're going to struggle in home. They're going to struggle on the road back.
Games. Yeah. You know? No, that's very fair. And it's almost like, hey, you're getting set up for failure. So they play each other. You go to week 13, Chargers come to Cincinnati. And the Steelers go to Baltimore. So this is kind of interesting. I don't know how to feel about this. Are the Chargers the better team at this point? Does Justin Herbert continue to move at the, you know, the jetpack is on and he's, you know, headed to the moon with his trajectory? Or are the Bengals and Joe Burrow headed that direction? That's kind of an interesting one for me too. I'm not sure where exactly to throw that. It is a 1 o'clock game that LA has to come to Cincinnati for, and provided that doesn't get moved, let's see what the Chargers get going on here. Just
they're at the Broncos the week before.
They're at the Broncos, divisional game, coming over there. I'll give the W to the Bengals there. I'll try and be fair. I don't know what the count is at this point, by the way. I'm just tallying these in a column. We're going to see if we're surprised at ourselves and whether we agree with that hot take or not that we heard at the – well, I didn't play
it. If we do end up agreeing with that, I don't take back a single thing I said about it. I'm just putting that out there right now.
Zach is to Adam Schein as Brian is to Mark Madden. Maybe yep, not. Maybe care. Not as big, but
– not as egregious, no. It's still – the hate's real.
Steelers at home against the Ravens. I'm giving that to the Steelers. I know the Ravens – I expect a split here, just to be fair. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a home and away. Whichever way that ends up turning out, I think it's 1-1 between the two teams. I think they'll battle it out. A lot of times you'll see it flipped. The Ravens are totally capable of coming in and beating the Steelers at home, and then vice versa Steelers may happen depending on what's on the line at the end of the season here. So San Francisco 49ers come in. Another West Coast team, 1 o'clock game for Cincinnati? Are you kidding me? Like, you know what? I like the 49ers. I don't care if it's Trey Lance. I don't care who it is that's there. Unless it's a complete bum type thing and this team is eradicated with injuries. For me, it's Kyle Shanahan against Zach Taylor. I'll take Kyle Shanahan.
100%.
And I think he'll have his team prepared. Another thing that people might be, huh, how can you do that? Well, hold on a second. 49ers, let's find out what they're doing here too. You've been ahead of me on this. You didn't catch me this time. You're not going to catch me, Zachary. Exactly. Let's see. They're playing at 49ers play at Seattle and then got to go to Cincinnati. So they're not going to leave the West Coast. And a lot of times when they come over this direction to Ohio, they may actually come in early, go over to my hometown of Youngstown, Ohio, and stay there. That's Eddie DeBartolo Jr. The DeBartolo headquarters is there. They'll practice at Youngstown State. They'll stay at the hotels there, and then they might head back over to Cincinnati. They lay over there a lot when they have other stuff, so who knows? That could be in the plans. They tend to do those type of things, the 49ers do. Let's see. Minnesota Vikings, Steelers are heading there. That's the Thursday night game. That's the setup for failure game. I'm going to put a loss there, man. I mean, right after playing the Ravens at home, they're going to be all amped up for that, and then they got to go to Minnesota on a short week. The Vikings would have to be a complete total dumpster fire. They're going to get a wounded animal here, in my opinion. So Bengals at the Denver Broncos. This is a 4:05 afternoon game. They got to go to the West Coast. We haven't been – I was disparaging towards the Broncos earlier. I feel like they're like a four-win team. It really depends on what the Bengals are like right now. I'm probably just glancing at this. They're at least hovering in the 500 range at this point. So did they end up did they win this game? We have them already here. Okay, three home games in a row. We have them winning all three of these. Steelers, Chargers, 49ers, right? Is that the way I was putting it? Or I had them losing to the 49ers, right?
Okay. Yeah, them losing the 49ers.
Them losing. So they didn't have three in a row, but they had three home games in a row. They're going to go travel to Denver on the West Coast. I think they could win that game.
I guess they're winning that game. I have no faith in the Broncos at this point right now.
Steelers against Titans at home, Heinz Field.
I think the Titans take a step back this year. Derrick Henry's going to keep being Derrick Henry, but I think Arthur Smith was a huge. I don't think you're going to be able to understate how much that loss is going to mean to that offense. We saw them flourish whenever he was there as the OC with Tannehill and Henry and that power run game they had and the trickery they had. Can they continue that? Potentially, I trust Mike Vrabel to get that ship straighted out. But Arthur Smith's a huge loss for them, man. I think that's one of the biggest coaching losses the team took this year on any team across the league. And I think that's going to reflect upon Tannehill's play potentially. Derrick Henry will still be Derrick Henry, though.
I agree. I agree. Win that one. This is interesting. The Bengals and Steelers have the same three opponents mixed in here for the final 3 weeks of the season. They draw the Chiefs, Ravens, and Browns. So in this order, week 16, first it'll be the Bengals hosting two games in a row too. This is kind of nice for them. Hosting the Ravens at home. This is where I could see this slide in a bad way. So
I by this point, in my opinion.
Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs, Steelers got to play at Kansas City, December, right after Christmas. This is December 26th. I'll give it to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Likewise, the Chiefs coming to the Bengals after playing the Steelers at home. Nope. Browns at home, Monday Night Football at Heinz Field against the Steelers. I got to say, this is one that the Steelers, hopefully they're geeked up and ready to go. If they were to be the same team last year, start out hot, have everything kind of sewn up, I don't think they're sitting anybody the following week. I don't think they're resting on their laurels this time around. I'm going to give them the Monday Night Football game. This is kind of the split here. We kind of had the coin toss up in Cleveland because it's coming off of a bye. But I do think it could go either way. The Bengals are going to go to Cleveland, and I think if Cleveland has enough on the line and there's playoff implications, which there could be with an extra team now, you got an extra week, you got more games, I just don't see it happening. They've already played the Ravens and the Chiefs now, and now they got to go and play the Browns. That's just that's a lot, and it's kind of almost the same thing where I have the Steelers going to the Ravens for that 1 o'clock Sunday game. The only way this game is tilted in either team's favor is if they've already got their playoff spot, the division locked up and everything like that. With all intents and purposes, these last two games where the Steelers have the Browns and the Ravens, they may be all jockeying for position for the AFC North crown. I'm willing to let the bygones be bygones. Like I said earlier, I would already split that. It's going to be time to tally this up. So if we have the wins, I didn't do all the splits yet. So we counted six W's, kind of like – I like saying dubs, though. It sounds a lot more fun. Trying to be like the cool kids.
Yeah, six dubs for the Bengals.
What's that?
Six dubs for the Bengals.
Yeah, six dubs for the Bengals. We've got some stuff hanging and banging here. We've got one that we coin flipped here, and that was with the Lions. So potentially 6-11 or 7-10 at best for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going to have some fun here with this. Yeah, we're homers.
That's all right.
I've got 10 wins tallied here. This isn't with the coin flip game that we tossed in here, too, for the Steelers. We had that for the Halloween game with the Cleveland Browns. So we could be anywhere from, let's say, 11-6 or 10-7, which should still be 10 wins, should be playoff material, I think, in the AFC, especially with an extra spot available there. 11 for sure. 11 could win the division this year. As we're looking, the Ravens and Browns don't have too much of a different schedule here. But what we're really looking at is, even if we give the coin flip a loss to the Steelers and they're 10-7, and we give the win to the Bengals 7-10, Adam Schein's out of his mind. We're looking at a 3-4 game swing here, and I don't see it on the schedule. We're going to go – let me go back through this where we gave – and I'm actually giving the Bengals already. We'll say the three games. Well, I'm already giving them this Lions game that we were on the fence about. I'm giving them one of the first two games 1-1, Vikings and Bears. I don't think they win both of those games and end up 2-0. I don't think that changes. They got it on the road against the Bears. On the road against the Steelers, don't think that changes. On the road or at home against Green Bay, I'm not switching that. On the road against Baltimore, I actually have Baltimore sweeping them. I have the Browns kind of sweeping them too. So when you start to go there, I have them like losing every game in the division. And I don't know that that's necessarily the most realistic way of looking at this. Did we give them one? We gave them one against the Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure did. We did a 1-1 split there. We actually did it almost with all of the teams. So if the Steelers go 3-3 in this division, they still have a path to win 10 games. And that's – we're not considering – if they're a stronger team than what everyone's giving them credit for, you don't know that they might knock off a team like the Bills or the Packers or something like that, or even beat the Ravens on the road or the Chiefs or something like that, because there could still be some wiggle room in there. I just don't see the rest of the wiggle room. You go to Vegas – with the Bengals, host the 49ers. Okay, maybe there's one there. But that final slate where I'm looking at hosting the Ravens, the Chiefs, and then going and playing at Cleveland, I think that's a tall order for that team to swing or eke out another two wins there. So even if I do, we do a little bit of wiggle room here. Three, I still don't see where they get more wins than the Steelers. They would have to be dead even here, and we'd have to see the Steelers underperform based on what we went through here. All on paper, all in theory, all speculation.
Yeah, and the Steelers, in my opinion, for the Steelers to do, or for the Bengals to do what Schein said, It's going to be more about the Steelers imploding and the national media being correct and having them pegged correctly, saying this team is going to suck because Ben Roethlisberger's old and there's no offensive line and, you know, Bud Dupree and Mike Hilton are huge losses, blah, 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 injuries or whatever. It's going to take that to happen. And I think that's going to be less because Joe Burrow is, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes, because he's not, in my opinion, no offense to any Bengals fans listening in, he's not, you know, his arm strength is nowhere near on par with a Josh Allen or a Pat Mahomes or even a Russell Wilson. But that being said, he's still a very talented player. And I think that the Bengals are going to improve. I think they're better than a 4-win team on paper if they're healthy. You know, but a lot of that's going to depend upon what the Steelers do. If the Steelers come out, I will say, I was going to say this earlier, but like if the Steelers would lose that that week 8 game to the Browns, and then they do lose that December 5th week 13 game to the Ravens, the Steelers have a really bad, I don't like that, because you're looking at a situation where you're not playing the Browns and Ravens back to back week 17, week 18 to lose out the season. More than likely they're playing for something, because I think the Bills and the Chiefs are still the, you know, cream of the AFC North or the AFC crop. The Browns are going to be jockeying for position. It wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens, like I said before, are kind of all in that conversation. But realistically, taking the homer aside, I would think it's more likely that the Browns and Ravens are jockeying for position than this, and the Steelers are trying to knock them down, than it is the Steelers are at the top of the division by week 17, week 18, controlling their destiny. I don't see that being the case, because it is a tough schedule and injuries are bound to happen. And the Steelers do have some very unfortunate games that are aligned the way that they are, and that's what happens when you have a difficult schedule. I think if the Steelers drop that game week 8 to the Browns and drop that week 13 game to the Ravens, they're gonna be in a really tough position, and that's what's going to knock the Steelers behind the Bengals if it were to happen. And that's assuming the Bengals do what we think they're going to do. We could be sitting here having this conversation, the Bengals turn into another 4-win team again because Zach Taylor can't right the ship and get them where they need to be. But I think the Steelers are going to be dependent upon what they can do. And we also talk about strength of schedule. We've seen where teams have extraordinarily difficult strength of schedules, and then teams have injuries or teams regress. Every team that was good last year is not going to be the same as it was last year. We see teams that were dominant in 1 year go and become no ones the next. You know, there's never seasons where the same 6/7 teams in the playoffs every year. So who knows? Maybe the Bengals win the division. Who knows? But
man, that would be a lot. See, that's kind of where I was going with this whole thing, too. For Shine to say the Bengals are going to have a better record than the Steelers, where does he see the Browns and Ravens at? They would have to be
the Browns and Ravens are. It's going to be like a 3-game separating or 4-game separating fourth and first place for it to be a conversation, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be that wide of a disparity. I don't think you're not going to tell me that the Ravens or Browns are 13-win teams. If they can get to 10 and 11, I think that's more. Especially with the 17-game schedule now, I think that's plausible. And if you want to say one team is ahead of the other by whatever, but those three teams are all going to be playoff contenders. As much as I've ragged on the Browns, I still said this is their window. This year they still got that window. It's still open. They won a lot of close games too last year. So when you're talking about a weaker strength of schedule last year, stronger strength of schedule this year, which the Vikings and Bears and all them, it's all comparable. If you look at it, it's the NFC North and the AFC North have the strongest schedules because they're playing each other and they had the teams that finish with the better records. Anybody who has the Jacksonville Jaguars on their schedule, it immediately the curve just goes out the window because they were a 1-win team. So it's really unfair to say some of those things. And Jacksonville played some games a little tighter than the vest, but I mean, it was pretty clear they were tanking. If that is a thing, I mean, to some degree, it is, unfortunately.
And who knows? And who knows if Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer click, and all of a sudden the Jaguars are looking at the AFC South, saying, "Hey, this is our division to take." And all of a sudden, they're a 9-10-10 win team in the playoffs. Who knows?
Yeah, and you know, this is another thing that I was considering this too, and it has to deal with maybe the standings within the divisions. You have what, 7 playoff spots? So when I look around, I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's just say the Bills are back where they are. Miami Dolphins, are they a postseason contender yet? Maybe not. I know they've been rebuilding that roster. Yeah. The Patriots, they put a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. We'll see if they get the quarterback thing down. They need a leader there. I'm sorry, the Jets are just out of that consideration. You're looking at the top two in each division. At the very least, that's eight teams. Do we have a team? Do we have a conference, or I'm sorry, a division in the conference that's just that much weaker, where one of these teams aren't going to compete, and it automatically gives you that extra spot? I think they do. I think the AFC South, between the Titans, Colts, Texans, and Jaguars, man, Texans and Jaguars, I don't think are playoff contending teams. The Titans, if they regress, or the Colts, if Carson Wentz doesn't work out, you may only see the division winner make the postseason there. The Chiefs are clearly the cream of the crop in the West. Do the Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos turn around enough to be a threat to the teams in the North, where maybe the odd man is looking out, that third team in the North doesn't make the postseason? You don't have three teams in the North make it again. There's been three teams making it in the North before they had this extra playoff spot. So I still feel confident enough to say that between Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland, they're all double-digit win teams. And then the Bengals are still down there, not double-digit. There's no plus or minus for me here as far as how many they win. I used to say in the past, like, oh, well, I'll give the Browns six wins, plus or minus one. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at right now, maybe with the Bengals, but it's still a very tough schedule, and even with the teams within their own division. I got them swept by the Browns and the Ravens. Now, the flip side of that is if they do pick up a win there, and they pick it up within the division against the Ravens or the Browns, that could be just as advantageous for the Steelers too, mm-hmm. and move them up the ladder. So
yeah, it's a logjam.
I'm not necessarily, you know, just crapping all over the Bengals, but it's just Shine's take that the better quarterback and they'll win more games. I don't think they win more games even if Ben isn't the quarterback.
No,
we saw this a couple years ago. So I mean, it's not that hot of a take. It doesn't mean the Steelers will make the playoffs, but you're betting against a coach who's never had a losing season. You're betting against a quarterback that isn't going to be put out back and shot yet, and you still got guys behind him with, whether you like this or not, Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins that could be capable, particularly if the defense still plays to the same level and you got all the other offensive pieces. There's no reason to think that the Steelers on paper still aren't going to be competitive enough. Two tackles alone, if Okorafor and Banner aren't those guys, it doesn't automatically open up the floodgates to make the Bengals a double-digit win team and be better than the Steelers, nor anyone else in the division. It's just, you know, it's just nonsense.
Defense still matters. That's,
yeah.
And the Bengals have the worst defense in the AFC North, in my opinion, and they have the worst head coach in the AFC North, in my opinion.
And that's not even that hot of a take, to be completely honest. I mean, it's real easy to look at on paper, and that's Zach Taylor's guy in the hot seat, so. Well, I think that puts a bow on this. A lot of fun, getting ahead of the holidays, or getting ahead of the week for once, you and I. So, you know, enjoy a hot dog or something, Zach. go barbecue, go grill or whatever. Have a cold one. Everyone enjoy the holiday. This isn't the one where you got to worry about blowing off fingers or anything yet, unless you're
that crazy
of a person. So thanks for joining me once again, and enjoy the rest of whatever you got left here for the holiday weekend.
Pleasure's all mine, Joe. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, that'll do it for us here. I always encourage everyone to like, comment, and subscribe. And also check out the Chase Claypool Football Camp at chaseclaypoolcamp.com. My name's Joe. He's Zach. I had a little pause there. I was like, that's not Brian. Get a little long-winded here. It's like, woo. I'm Joe. That's Zach. And until next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.